I was on an airplane, and there was internet, high-speed internet on the airplane. That's the newest thing that I know exists. And I'm sitting on the plane, and they go, open up your laptop. You can go on the internet. And it's fast, and I'm watching YouTube clips. I'm in an airplane. And then it breaks down. And they apologize. The internet's not working. The guy next to me goes, this is bull. Like, how quickly the world owes him something.
Yes.
He knew existed only 10 seconds ago.
Right. Right.
Yeah, so think of something in your life that you really, really wanted. Just kind of focus with me or saying something in your life you really, really, really wanted. You just like had to have it. You just someday I really, really want, and you have it now. How long did the satisfaction last? I relate to the clip. You know, like a lot of times I'm thinking about all the things I want to get or I don't have yet. God, I have to have these things. But what is it in your life that you have right now? Maybe you're married to someone. And you remember back when you're just like, oh, God, please, if I could just have her. I mean, that's the one I really want. And then you have her now, and you're like, well, I'll just leave it right there. But I mean, like, I remember when I really needed a job. I was like, God, please, I need a job so bad. And I interviewed for this one job. I was like, please, God, please, if I could just have this job. Why do I wake up two times a week now, and I hate to go to work? And I have that job. Think of all the things that I relate to the clip of the comedian because I have tons of amazing things in my life, blessings in my life. Lots of things have occurred for me. I would probably say I'm pretty lucky. I got a lot of stuff going on in my life. Why am I still dissatisfied? Well, I get tons and tons of stuff. I'm blessing my life. Why does it still not keep me satisfied when I get it? This series that we're doing, there's a network of churches. We're all doing the same thing in our communities. We're trying to figure out, how does a church become a blessing in a community? How does a person become a blessing in a community? Like, how do we get beyond just of all the stuff that we have and actually cause other people to benefit because I'm here or this church is here? We're calling them I Love SLC or I Heart SLC. And it's an age-old tension, by the way. This isn't a new thing. Maybe you look into your life and it's a house you had to have, or you wanted a certain pet, or, oh, if I just didn't, you know, could get over this health issue or get that credit card paid off. And then it occurred, and at some point you started to recognize, how come that's not lasting? The tension of it all. It's an age-old tension. We're going to talk about it in this series. Write in your notes the big idea, we're blessed to be a blessing. So the idea is that the things that I have in my life, the gifts that I have in my life, who I am, what I have, they begin to be satisfying when I can play them forward. And it's an age-old problem that we don't. This is from a really old part of the Bible, God talking to some people, and he's talking about blessing. He sets it all up. He says, I will make you into a great nation, and I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. And you'll be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So there's the principle. I'll give you tons of stuff. I'll bless you. I'll take care of you. But what will you do with it? Because if I keep it all for me, for some reason, it just doesn't satisfy me. I don't know why it is that I just keep thinking if I get more, 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 I'll be satisfied. When it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Or maybe you've done this. Maybe you've tried to flip it to the other side. I've done this. I've sort of figured out, gosh, I'm getting all kinds of stuff. It's not working. Maybe I'll really scale it back and I'll go without. And for me, that means like, you know, 2 pints of Häagen-Dazs instead of 3. I'm going to really trim back this week, you know. And I don't know what it is for you. But you decide, you know, I'm going to simplify my life. Maybe that's the answer. I figured it out. More, more, more isn't working. So I'm going to be real, real simple about life. I'm not going to get the things I want. Be real simple. This guy tried it. It's kind of a cool little story. So this guy, he's in that place where more is not working, I'll try less. And so he decides to become a monk and go into a monastery. Let me read you his story right here. At this monastery, he's writing, I committed to a simple life of silence and was only allowed to say two words every 7 years. Check this out now. So he figures it out. More and more, more isn't working. I'm going to go less, less, less. Talk about an extreme. Joins a monastery, gets to say two words every 7 years. After 7 years pass, the leaders bring him in and ask him for his two words. He says, cold floors. The leaders nod at him and send him away. 7 more years go by in the monastery. The leaders bring him in. Now it's 14 years he's been here. They bring him back in and say, what are your two words? He clears his throat and says, bad food. And the leaders nod and they send him away. 7 more years pass after 21 years of simple life. They bring him in for his two words, and he says, I quit. At that point, the head monk said to him, I'm not surprised. You've done nothing but complain since you got here. Here's the thing. It's not about more or less. It's about what I do with it. It's about how I honor God with it. It's about how it shows up in my life, but more importantly, how does it show up in someone else's life? It's an age-old problem that I sort of keep it all for me. Or I go to the extreme and say, nothing for me, neither work. They both lead to a ditch. How do I stay on the road? How does my blessings satisfy me, whatever they are? And here's what we're going to talk about as we go through this series. How a blessing takes shape, and not only that, but how do I see it happen in someone else's life? And the great model is Jesus. I mean, when he came down and started a ministry and started to move amongst people, there's this really cool story about how it looked in his life, like when he would bless somebody with something, how it was played forward. And I'm going to read you a little story out of the Bible, and it takes place in an area where most of the unreligious people have lived. Maybe that seems like your neighborhood. But nobody goes to church there. Nobody wants to be religious there. It's the area where all the unreligious people have sort of moved to. And in this particular area, Jesus is traveling through, and here's the story. I'm going to read it to you. It's in your notes. Jesus was tired from the journey, so he sat down by a well. It was about noon. A woman from Samaria came to get some water. Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? She said this because Jews did not have anything to do with Samaritans. Now, maybe you grew up, or it could be even in your families or somewhere, where the religious people didn't have anything to do with the non-religious people, or the non-religious people wouldn't have anything to do with the religious people. That's this story. She's on the non-religious side. And so she's asking, like, listen, you know I don't go to church. You know I'm not a religious person. Why are you talking to me? And she's a girl with a little bit of an attitude. She's probably like, you know, what are you talking to me for? You know, she's got that type of attitude towards him. But what she's really saying from her heart is, why would you even take a moment with me? I don't measure up. You know the rules. You know how God measures things. Why are you even, I don't get it. What's your angle? That's where she's coming from, okay? Maybe you've been in those type of situations before. She said this because Jews don't have anything to do with Samaritans. Jesus replied, catch this, this is awesome. Jesus replied, God talking. If you only knew the gift of God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. That is so awesome. Jesus said, his heart breaks. He said, if you only knew the blessing God has for you, you wouldn't feel this way. Now, this is an interesting woman. If you read the whole story in the Bible, and you can grab a free Bible on the way out and read it. She'd been married 5 times, which wouldn't even be the record in my family. Maybe it would be here. 5 times this woman has been married, and she's with the 6th man now. So she has a little bit of a past. Even in this community that's not religious, they're standing back a little ways. They're like, girl, 5 times? Really? Come on. And she's at this well at noon. Now think about this. In her community, everybody would go get the water right in the beginning of the day, just like you do when you're camping. You don't go on the hottest part of the day and get your water. Get everything settled in the morning. She'd go, and everybody would get their water except for her. Why? Well, she didn't want anybody to talk to her. She didn't want to be seen. She didn't want to have to explain anything. How would you like to explain your sixth boyfriend after five husbands? Oh, I know this one, though. This one's going to really work. He really loves me. Do you have anybody in your family that's ever used that line on you, their third or fourth husband? But I know this one's going to work. What do you think? Yeah, right. Like the last one. She doesn't want to hear those things. Here's the person she is. She's the person at your job that can't eat lunch in the lunchroom because there's something going around about them. So they can't be with the rest of the people at lunch. They don't dare because they don't want people to roll their eyes or speak behind their back. She's the person in your family that has to check and see what family members are coming to the barbecue to see if it's safe for them to come. She's that person. Haven't we all been the person that's on the outs? We're on the outs. We can't go to the well at the normal time. We have a past. That's this girl, this woman. And Jesus runs into her, and she has this misconception about God. Everything's all mixed up and turned around. And he has this conversation with her, and this is basically all he says to her. He says, having a relationship with God is a gift. You don't have to earn it. That's all he says. He says, listen, I want you to know something. You don't earn anything with God. You don't earn his love. And now you might have been a Christian a super, super long time. You're thinking, yeah, yeah, tell me something I don't know. Well, let me tell you something. I know what it is like to be a Christian for a long time and have a bad week or a bad month or a bunch of sins pile up and fall back into the trap after many years of following Jesus that I start to subtly believe maybe I have to earn my way back before God will help me. Because I've been pretty crappy lately. This is an age-old trick. And Jesus says to her, he says, you don't have to earn anything with God. It's all a gift from him to have a relationship, and completely takes her by surprise. Changes her whole life. Talk about a blessing. In fact, it's so crazy, this girl that doesn't associate with anybody, this woman that doesn't put herself out there with anybody, listen to what happens. It's in your notes. I'll read it to you. Many of the Samaritans, she goes back to where she lives, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of this woman's testimony. Is that crazy? She's sneaking around in the shadows, doesn't even want anybody to talk to her, and she has an encounter, a relationship. Jesus says something to her, and he can, you too. And it completely changes how she shows up with other people. If you're going to be a blessing to other people, you'll have to be able to receive a blessing from God. And it's free. It's free for you. If you're waiting to get mature or take your game up a notch or be disciplined or have a really good run of spirituality and then I'll be ready to bless other people, forget it. Those come about three times in life. The rest of the time, you're grateful that God loves you, and it's a gift. And it's a blessing that you can play forward, and it'll change the way you show up with people. It does her. How radically different is she? Look at this. So here's how it happens. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we're no longer believed just because of what you said. Now we've heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is, and check this out, the Savior of the world. If you've ever wondered if anybody that doesn't go to church and is not religious can figure out that Jesus is the Savior of the world, voila. This does not happen in a church building. A person showed up that received a gift from God and blessed them with it. And they went, there must be a Savior. I like the way she says it too. She says, he told me everything I ever did. Here's my take on that. She spilled her guts to him. And he listened. And he probably helped her understand while some of it occurred and how she got in the messes. And when she says, he told me everything I ever did, I think what she was saying is, I spilled my guts to him, and instead of getting a lecture, he helped me figure some things out. So I don't just keep repeating it and repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. Is that the worst? You got something going on in your life, and you'd give anything for it to go away, and it just keeps happening again and again and again. And she went back and said, it's over now. Who do you know needs to hear that? How often do I need to hear it? Now, why do I read that to you? Because I want to set this series up, and I want to say that when Jesus moves along, he moves along as a gift to bless us, and as he does, it blesses other people. And in this particular story, if anybody here in the room thinks, well, he can't use me, well, he used her. I guess if you've been married less than 5 times, you qualify. And I guess if you're a woman that nobody wants to talk to and you don't feel like you can be with anybody, you qualify. Don't you love how God always sets the bar? He always pulls this person out of the stands and says, look who the hero is. And the rest of us go, maybe there's hope for me too. And that's our story. Now, we started this talk with this comedian, Louis C.K., and let me be clear, I'm not saying run out and watch all his stuff, because I know Louis C.K. can be pretty raunchy, so I'm not saying he's somebody we should listen to, but I thought it was kind of interesting when I saw an interview of him personally, that he kind of gave the look behind the clip that we saw in the beginning, and then also how blessing works in his life. I thought it was pretty good, so I want you to check this out.
It's funny how many different ways you can kind of take that clip and stretch it.
I don't think anyone in any comment that I've read has really understood what I meant by the whole thing. I don't think it's made any real... But I don't care. It was also was just a joke. One kid said, so what? If something doesn't work, I have a right to expect it to work. If it advertised that it was fast and it wasn't, why wouldn't I be mad? You know, that's the way some people look at it. And I think, though, it's a trap. It's an unhappy trap. You don't really need that picture of Axl Rose in your phone that quickly, do you? Like, was it really important anyway? You know what that's interesting about that clip to me is it's really about me. It's not about other people. Like the story I tell on Conan about the guy on next to me on the airplane when the internet shuts down suddenly. There wasn't anybody next to me on that plane. That was me. There was nobody next to me. People don't talk to me on airplanes. Anytime you see me doing a bit where some stranger says something to me, it's me. The fact is, I was really upset that the internet shut down. I was livid. And then I caught myself and said, wait a minute, what are you upset about? This was incredible that this was possible even. And I sort of started, it was kind of like an epiphany for me. I started seeing things differently, like realizing that when we get to a gate, and they go, we need 10 minutes because the guy at the gate, the plane at our gate hasn't backed out yet. And I go, okay, come on. Like, that was me. Let's go. Why? It's actually not going to get me there quicker. It's not going to get, you know what I mean? Like, I'm losing nothing. I just feel bad. But if you could just, like, take a breath and calm down and go, yeah, this is as good as they make these right now. This is as good as it is. But somehow we don't, doesn't make us happy, and that's too bad. I don't think that means people are bad people. It means that they're unhappy.
They want jetpacks.
That they have all this great shit. If you had a jetpack, you'd be like, I have the shittiest jetpack. I can't believe I got this jetpack. Who's your service provider on your jetpack? Because did they make the new one? I hate this thing. It sucks. And then we'd all sit there and talk about that.
Are there any shows that stand out that you... just think the audience was great.
One of the best shows I ever had was not in this part of the world at all. It was in Baghdad. one of the country western guys, he was on stage and the lights went out and the sound went out all at once. And it was like 2,000 soldiers standing and it was cold. And they're all just standing there in their camos just, you know, waiting. And all of a sudden there's no show. And they said it would take an hour to fix the generator or half an hour or something like that. So, I said, I'll go on because I don't need a guitar. I don't need electricity. The thing that hit me was that the guy, I was standing with this guy, Sergeant White, and he said, he looked at the soldiers and he said, if this was Madison Square Garden, they would be yelling and throwing stuff and wanting their money back. But these guys were just standing there, just waiting. It just broke my heart, you know? So I just went on stage and they were it's the best audience I ever had. They weren't like an audience of American consumers that are like, well, I wanted to see a show. It's for me. And then they leave and they go, I wasn't crazy, but the first wasn't really, didn't really work just the way we are now. And then they'd write a blog the next day subpar show, not really great, you know, that kind of thing. These guys are like, this guy doesn't have a mic. He needs us. And so everyone that was there noticed this. They all crushed in, like they came, they all pushed in to each other's backs to get closer to me. And every joke, they would laugh way harder than the joke was funny.
And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, that's how it looks. That really is how it looks. You know, you sort of figure it out at some point that you're blessed. You have a lot of gifts, a lot of things have occurred for you, and how you give them away. And then it causes things for those around us. And that is not an easy thing to always hold on to. I understand that. And that's why we're in this series. We're trying to figure out, like, how do I walk in that so I can be satisfied with the things I have? But not just that. Look at the definition of blessed. I have it in your notes. Using who I am and what I have to help people move closer to Jesus because they know he cares about them. Number one reason people stay back from God. He doesn't care about me. And you know where they get that notion? Church people. Religious people, all different types of religion. I'm not macking on anybody. Just, all over the world, religion and churches are famous for saying, well, God will care about you if. And then when everybody reads the if statement, they go, well, I can't do that. So he doesn't care about me. And they give up or they wander away or they don't try. Say. So we're asking the question, if we just showed up. You know, there's this amazing study that was done. The two teams went to Thailand, and one team was laser focused on conversion. So religious people, right? Laser focused on conversion, and so they went to Thailand. Now another team, exact same time, same area of Thailand, laser focused on blessing. Two different approaches. So the one team gets there laser focused on converting. So everything is angled and storied and moved towards, we're going to try to get people to convert to our faith. And the other team was there and they decided, I'm just going to show up and use who I am and what I have to bless people. Now here was the crazy thing. After 2 years, they did a study on this. After 2 years, they compared their results. And the team that did the blessing had way more social impact. And they kind of thought that would be the case. But here was the crazy thing. They saw 50 times more people choose to start to walk with Jesus. 50 times more people. And all they did was to show up and they just said, we're just going to be a blessing everywhere we go. See, and that's the idea. So what we're saying is, be a blessing moves people closer to God because they figured out God cares about me. Now here's the acronym, it's in your notes. Begin with prayer. So we made this kind of cool thing, all the churches are using it. I know it's kind of cheesy, but maybe it'll help us remember it. Begin with prayer, listen. 1 week we're going to talk about eating, how eating is a blessing. That service is going to be 5 minutes long. We all know that, it's going to be a short sermon. Eating, serve, and story. Where we're talking about using the word blessed to say, how do we show up with the blessings, gifts in our life so other people are blessed, so we're satisfied, because let's face it, no matter how many you got, if you just keep them for yourself, they don't satisfy. Now, this week, we're going to talk about prayer. So look in your note sheets and write, we begin with the process of prayer. Praying. So before we ever figure out how we're going to bless people, before we ever decide who we're going to be with, we start to pray. Really simple thing. Do you know when Jesus came here and he was a part of our world and started what he called a ministry or a miracle working tour, a lecturing tour that blew everyone's mind, he was going to put a team of people together to go with him and he prayed to pick them. Let me read it to you. It's all getting started now in the days of Jesus. One of those days, Jesus went up to the mountains to pray. He spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them who he had also designated apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. So here's the story. Jesus is going out, and before he ever does any blessing, he decides to pray. Spends the night praying. Now, I want to contrast this how I would probably do it. I would probably look amongst all the people and I'd say to myself, who likes me most? I'd pick them. I'd look amongst all the people and I might say, who's the blue chipper? Who's gone to college? Or who's got the money? Or who's the prettiest or the handsomest? Or who do I think is the funniest? I don't know. And don't look at me like that. How do you choose people? Do you go pray all night? Probably not. We all do that. We look out into the crowd and we decide, who gets to be with me? Who am I going to pick? Nothing wrong with that. Jesus had a different tact. He said, before I go do this, I'm going to see what God has to say about it. If you were going to have your kidney replaced in a couple of months and your cousin had had their kidney replaced last year, you probably would call them and ask them how it went and what you had to look forward to and what might occur. We always do that. That's how we live. If you're going to go to Maui next month on vacation and your next door neighbor went to Maui last month, you probably would stop by his house and say, tell me about Maui. What was Maui? Where should I go or should I not go? We're always doing that. That's all this is. Jesus was praying and asking God, who do you think I should pick? Who would you choose? This is how it works out. So we all know the story. Jesus has this amazing life, and then everybody turns on him, and eventually they put him on a cross and killing, thinking, shh, took care of that. 3 days later, he's like really back. And instead of being angry and mad like I would be, he forgives everybody. And then he gets all of his group together, and he says, now listen, this is amazing. I'm leaving and go to heaven. I'll be with you, but it'll be different than when I'm with you right now. And you're going to take the message forward. Now listen to what they do. Right on the heels of him saying that, it's in your notes. The apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer. Jesus' mom, some other women were there with him. Pretty good learners. They're like, wait a minute, wait a second. Jesus, you're not staying? You're going back to heaven and you want us to take this for? And somehow they knew, before we do anything, guys, we better pray. We better ask God what we're supposed to do next. How do you want to play this out, Lord? What should I be doing? It's such a simple thing to start your day that way. And that's all we're saying during this series is we would just get up and we would just say a simple prayer. God, how do you want to use me today? Who are you going to bring across my path? Now, number two, write it in your notes, being able to recognize and respond to opportunities. How is it that we do that? If you can imagine what it must have been like for Jesus, for the word to get out that he could do miracles. Now, this is before antibiotics or hospitals or surgeries or any of this stuff. There's lots of people with special needs and all kinds of problems around. Can you imagine as the word spread that he could give people their eyesight back and their hearing back and he could heal people from cerebral palsy? Just think now. I mean, I know like when we see him in the movies, he's just walking around a flowing white robe with blue eyes, but I'm talking about Jesus Christ of the Bible. He lived under a lot of pressure. Can you imagine how many people came up to him and said, my cousin needs you. My grandma needs you. Can you come and put your hands on my brother? Who do you know in your life that's sick? Special needs? Got a really big problem? If you saw Jesus walking down the theater, would you stop him and just say, could you just come to my house for a minute? That happened to him all the time. How do you think he knew who to pray for and what to say and where to go? How would anybody know? How would you even begin to know? Here's how he did it. Check it out in the Bible. But Jesus replied. They came to him and said, no, wait a minute. How do you know who to bless? Jesus. My Father's always working and so am I. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. What the Father does, the Son does. He was just constantly asking and being guided, letting the Lord show him. Here's a great story this girl Dina writes. I remember a time when I had canceled a class, and instead of just going to my emails or getting onto Facebook, I decided to pray and ask God, how do you want me to use this time? True story. As I sat there, a name popped into my mind. It was a student named Janice. I sensed it was God saying something to me, and he wanted me to find her and talk to her about how she could move closer to him. Janice had never been to church, and she was not a Christ follower, but she'd been to one of our church events. So I called her and asked her if we could connect over coffee, and to my surprise, she said, sure. When we met, I told her, Janice, I was praying this morning. Your name popped into my mind, and I felt like I was supposed to get together with you and tell you how you've become a follower of Jesus. When I said that, she started to tremble and cry. I immediately stopped and said, oh, I'm sorry. I always blab out like this. I'm so blunt. I know I shouldn't go there. I'm sorry. I'm being very insensitive. Please forgive me. And she stopped me and said, no, that's not it. I just can't even believe you're here. Last night, I went to a Bible study in my dorm, and they talked about what it means to follow Jesus, and I just couldn't stop thinking about it. All night, I couldn't sleep. I didn't know what to do. So I prayed this morning, asking God that he'd bring someone to me today that would tell me how to become a Christ follower. And here you are. And I just can't believe it. Simple prayer in the morning. And then show me who it might be, God. That's all. And this is not like, you know, beyond any of us. But I'll do that. I want you to put something in your notes. God knows who and what we need. So God knows who needs what. Just write that. It should come up on us. God knows who needs what. And this is dear to my heart because I get that it's difficult to know when to zig or zag. When I was 20 years old and I was not a Christian, but I was seeking on the inside, but I was too embarrassed to let anybody know. Drugs were a problem, alcohol was a problem, relationships were a problem, family was a problem, school was a problem, money was a problem. Do I need to keep going on? I had problems. and I tried to hide them and make sure nobody saw them, and on the inside I was just falling apart. And at some point when you just keep medicating and running and burning bridges, and I just was trying, like, God, please, if you're out there, you know, is there any chance, you know, I didn't know how to get to him. I had no idea. I'm 20 years old, completely lost. I knew one Christ follower who didn't even live in my state. In those days, I used to commute up to Alaska, and I was working up there fishing. And so it was time to go back, and I had to pass through Seattle. This one Christ follower that I knew lived in Seattle and found out when my plane was connecting to go up to Alaska. And when I got off my plane, I went to get my backpack off the luggage rack, and there's Chuck down at the luggage. He's waiting for me. I said, what are you doing here? He said, I don't know. I found out you're coming through, and I just wanted to come down and meet you and see if you'd stay the weekend in Seattle with me. I was like, no, I have to catch a plane tomorrow morning. I knew he was a Christ follower. Have you ever been like this with God? That's where I was at. I was like, stay away. I can't do all those things those Christians do. That looks like no fun. But inside I was going, I need some help. Please, God. And so, like, Chuck represented that. So I pushed him away as hard as I could. I'm not staying with you. And no way. I've got to get up to Alaska. But the inside, I was just looking for something. So I decided to stay for a couple days. And then he tells me we're going to church. And I'm like, are you crazy? I'm not going to a boring church with you, man. That's like no fun. He said, well, we're not having lunch unless you do. And I was like, ugh, tricked me, you know. And so I go to this church, and it was like this church. In fact, it was the church, crazy story. It was the church that started all the East Lakes way back in the day. It was a church designed for people that didn't want to go to church. Did I ever luck out finding that one? And all they said in that meeting that day, it doesn't matter what your past is, it doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is waiting for you. I'd never heard that before. And I became a Christ follower. And he started to put things together for me. Now here's the reason I wanted to tell you this story and why it's near and dear to my heart, these divine appointments. A long time after that, I asked Chuck, I said, Chuck, the heck were you doing? How'd you know to come to the airport? God told me. I knew I should go. Changed everything. It's near and dear to my heart to keep it simple. Get up in the morning, and say a prayer. How do you want to use me today, God? Help me see the opportunities. And that's where we're going to start.